Do you know this truth that is being spoken and sung here, that all our needs are met? You know, when we hear these spiritual truths, sometimes it's like, yeah, yeah, I got that. I understand that. I agree with that. But do we really, really know it? Do we know it? Do we live it? Do we hold that as we move about our days and our lives? That's what I want to unpack today, this idea that all our needs are indeed met. Now, of course, there are disappointments, right, in life. That's part of life. There are things that don't go the way that we wanted them to. Anybody experience that ever? I think sometimes people think, you know, a new thought, we got like we've got this idea that like everything is always, you know, Easter, Easter, joy, joy. And then there's life and things that happen in life. And there are those times when we feel disappointed, when things don't work out the way that we planned, right? But the thing is, remember that you've probably heard this joke before. Do you want to make God really laugh? Tell her your plans, right? Because there's always a better plan. In divine truth, the divine always has a better plan for us. And so what I mean by that, because we're not separated from that, is when we get caught up in our intellectual mind, in the ideas that we have about what's going to happen and how this is going to roll and A, B, and C, and then the manifestation at the end of that we have planned. Nothing wrong with any of that, as long as we can hold it in an open hand. As long as we can be willing to say, this that I have thought up or something better, I give it over to Spirit. I walk in that trust that all my needs will be met and that something will come to fruition that feeds me. So the divine plan, knowing that that is always better, even than the deep the desires of our hearts, the preferences that we might have, because there is a deeper knowing in the spiritual heart in us. And that deeper knowing in us is the one to trust. That intuitive urge is the one to follow, right? That guidance. When we're not sure, well, we might try something out and then see how it unfolds from there. As long as we're willing to be a part of the mystery. Karen Taylor Good is another New Thought artist that sort of drives this point home, this idea that there is a bigger plan. In her song where she says, she sings about prayer and she says, I don't always get what I want, I get what I need. The verse, one of the verses that I really like is, I prayed for strength and I got pain that made me strong. I prayed for courage, and I got fear to overcome. I prayed for faith, and my empty heart brought me to my knees. I don't always get what I want. I get what I need. So how many times have you seen this play out in your life, where something worked out differently than what you had planned, and it actually was better? And I wonder how many times we didn't see the outcome. You know, how many times were you in traffic and you were upset because you wanted to get to your destination, but you might not even know that your life was spared, that you weren't part of an accident that was just up ahead? Or maybe there was a cancellation or a delay of some kind and you show up at just the right time to help somebody in need. You didn't know what was going on. But there is something greater, there is something bigger that we are a part of. And that's the point, to recognize that. I had a group of friends at Unity on the Temple in the Plaza that we would often do different, you know, go out in the community and share in different events, musical events and other things. And one of the women in the group was named Sandy. And Sandy did everything on her own time. And so you know how it is when a group is moving or trying to get moved and you have to go get your tickets or you have to go get your seats or you know, whatever it is, and they're stragglers. Well, Sandy was so friendly and so approachable and so present to the moment, sort of had that Winnie the Pooh energy, you know, and so beloved, right? Everybody loved Sandy. So she would stop all along the way talking to strangers, meeting new people, and we'd always be like, Sandy, come on. Come on. You know, she would be present to the beauty around her and what was going on. And the thing was, on three different occasions, something charmed would happen when Sandy would finally arrive at our destination. In one case, she arrives and receives backstage passes. In another, she gets a raffle ticket, and it's the winning raffle ticket. And another time, we all end up with a table up front. And so every time, it was like this completely present way of moving and having your being in spirit that Sandy taught us, and we were blessed by being in that presence. So I don't know if you have anyone like that in your life or if you yourself are like that, but it is a great blessing to be able to truly live in the moment and be at peace knowing that all your needs are going to be met. There's no anxiety here. There's no hurry. There's no rush. There is a moment here that I don't need to rush to get through in order to receive the gift and the blessing that is right here. So all our needs are met in divine time. So we often act, I know many of us do, I know I do, I'll speak for myself, we act before it's necessary, right? We act before actually the best outcome might have come forward for us. If we would just relent and let Spirit take charge, let Spirit lead the way, welcome, then we would, you know, reap those rewards. I once had a psychic tell me that you have all kinds of spirit guides, but they're like lounging by the pool because you never ask for help. So it's like, wake those guys up, you know, and ask. The scriptures tell us, ask and it is given. Ask and it is given. It's about trust, isn't it? In this pandemic, we've had a 15-month run and counting with trust. And with this dance of divine timing and with this ability to know our needs are indeed met and that we may not be getting what we want right now, but there is a bigger picture and somehow we are all getting what we need. It may not look like it in some circumstances. It may not feel like it in some circumstances. But there is a trust that there is something bigger that we are a part of. How can it get much bigger? You know, when you have something localized, we understand that a local experience that happens. But when it becomes a pandemic, a literal worldwide experience, doesn't it get our attention in many ways? But from that spiritual angle, that something bigger is happening, something bigger than me, something bigger than my community, something bigger than the nation, something bigger maybe than all of humanity, something bigger than the world, out into the cosmos. Something mysterious is happening. Some kind of awakening is going on. And when we pay attention to those deeper levels within us, when we enter into that garden that we was just so beautifully sung about, we see, we feel, we begin to know, and we trust. We can't always see it all. As my friend Craig, one of my ministerial colleagues, used to say, you know, most of us are busy praying for guidance, but demanding revelation. And really, it's not the way it works, right? We get one step, and then we get the other step, and then, you know, and thank goodness, because otherwise, you know, it might be just too much for us to take in at once. So it is that we're on these journeys. So one of the things that we have taken, I think, culled from this pandemic is that ability to be in the I don't know. The I don't know when, I don't know how, I don't know why, but I must just embrace and be with the I don't know, or I'll just continue to push up against it and resist it and be miserable. And so instead we learn to go with the flow. We learn to accept, to look for what it is we are grateful, to see the unseen, previously unseen blessings. So when we know these truths, we are trusting the mystery of Spirit. We are trusting the divine timing of Spirit. And maybe this is one of the most important prosperity lessons we can take on right now, is that spiritual communities like ours are built on a bedrock of trust. Right? It is about trusting Spirit. It is about trusting one another. It is about trusting leadership. It is about trust. and allowing ourselves to just meet our own fears and open to that trust that is available. We may not always get what we want individually, but if we trust, we will get what is best for the greater good, what is good, what is best for the community. It helps us move forward together. Reuniting in a pandemic is a challenge, right, for all of us. But we continue to be in this together, and the more we trust one another, the more positive and productive our experiences will be. Many of us are familiar with the biblical poetic verse of the lilies of the field and the ravens in the storehouse, right? Where Jesus says, consider the lilies. They don't worry about what to wear, and yet they're so beautiful. And consider the ravens. They don't worry about what to store up, but they are fed every day. And so to consider ourselves being less worried and more present, more aware that our needs will be met. But there's a verse just before that that often gets skipped over. You know, we like the poetic ones. But this one is a parable, actually, of the rich fool. And it goes like this. The ground of a certain man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I don't have a place to store my crops. He thought about it, and he thought about it. It doesn't say that in the Bible. I'm embellishing a little bit. And he finally said, back to the verse, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty for years to come. Take life easy. Eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, you fool! This very night your life will be demanded of you. And then who will get what you have prepared all for yourself? Watch out, Jesus warned the crowd as he told this parable. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist of an abundance of possessions. Be rich toward God. Life does not consist of an abundance of possessions. Prosperity, as much as you might have been told, is not about stuff. It's about being rich toward God. What does that even mean? Be rich toward God. I imagine it like this. As we turn our attention toward the divine, we realize our rich blessings. As we serve the divine, we are richly rewarded. So the other day, I recognized this because, you know, the divine, where is the divine? Everywhere, right? In everyone, everywhere in the world. So we have infinite opportunities, right, to turn toward the divine and see and experience those rich blessings. So sometimes we miss it, right? So the other day, I had some extra work to do, and Brenly and her nephew, who's visiting us, went out to dinner. When they came back, I had a pizza in the oven. And she went right to the oven, took it out, started cutting it for me. And I wasn't turned toward the divine. I mean, I saw that she was doing a service for me, but then I zeroed in on the minutiae of the cutting board and made some comment about how, you know, how I cut the pizza or something like that, how I use the cutting board, you know? It's like, yeah, right? You got it? Total miss, right? So, don't blame her. She abandoned the task and moved on, right? Cut your own pizza then, right? But in that moment, not actually in that moment, it was after that moment that I turned toward the divine. And I realized what had been missed. Even deeper than that, Brenly's love language, if you're familiar with the love language, is acts of service. So that was an act of love. That was love being offered to me, a universal need that was going to be met in that moment, an expression of love. And I totally missed the boat. But now I knew, because I was turning toward the divine now and remembering and feeling all of that. And so I had an opportunity, right, to serve the divine then, to be richly rewarded. And so I came to her and said, wow, I totally missed it. I'm sorry. I saw for a minute what you were doing, and I undercut it by going somewhere else. And I know that what you were doing was an act of love, and I missed my opportunity to receive your love. And for that, I'm deeply sorry. And so then we had a moment of connection, and we both felt the love. See, it's such small things like that. Everyday things that happen over and over and over in our lives, opportunities for us to turn toward the divine again and again and again and be richly blessed. So it's about keeping our channels clear, essentially, right? That's what it all comes down to. Prosperity teachings, spiritual teachings. It's about keeping this clear. It's about the release process, nothing to add on. And so as the mystics have said this forever, right? That it's about letting go. It's about releasing. It's about giving over. It's about giving away, not adding to. We've already got all the riches and the treasure inside of us that we could ever need. We have abundance bubbling over, right? Spilled over on our laps and running over the gifts and the blessings that are available, the gratitude that we could feel for those things and experience them, therefore. So what do we do to unclog our channels? We all have different ways of doing that, unclogging the channel of the heart, unclogging the channel of the mind, unclogging the channel of the body. First, we have to notice there's a clog. So when I sit down to write a talk, if I have something on my heart that's heavy or bothersome or something busy in my mind, which is a frequent experience for me, or tension in my body even, I have to clear the channel or the message won't come through. So, and it's true for all of us, I think, right? The message of our lives won't come through if we don't clear the channel. So for me personally, that might look like meditation or going for a swim or a walk or journaling or, you know, chanting. It could be any number of things. And sometimes it takes more than one of those things. I might go do some yoga stretches and come back and go, still there. You know, a lot of times I want to yell, but I always worry about my neighbor calling me and going, is something wrong? Which she did on one occasion. So, but that is a quick and clear way to just let it all go. There's some breathing techniques in yoga that kind of do the same thing, that just like help you let go of whatever that is that feels stuck. So that kind of practice helps us. It's a good thing to do at any time, right? Just to like sort of get ourselves ready for the day or get ourselves ready for sleep. You know, just clear it out, unclog in your own way, whatever that may be. Maybe writing it out is your way. So we all have a message, though, and that message is essentially the way we live our lives, isn't it? It's very much like what Gandhi said. Remember when the reporter, he was getting on a train and the reporter said, Gandhi, what's your message? And Gandhi said, my life is my message. You know, and isn't that true for all of us? It is how we live. It's how we show up. It's how we put feet to our prayers and enact these teachings. That's the message that gets through. We are going to make mistakes. We are going to miss it sometimes. But when we miss it, do we just hold on to that? I had that opportunity. When I realized the miss, I could have just held that on for myself and said, well, maybe next time. But there would be a part of that divine flow, that prosperity and abundant good that got cut off there too, because I didn't give it back. So there's always opportunities and ways that we can find to complete the circle, to be in the law of circulation of giving and receiving. So these messages, have you ever found or written a message in a bottle? It's such a like romantic, sentimental thing, isn't it? This idea of the message in the bottle. And mysterious, right? Who will find it? What will happen when they find it? What is that message that is going to be given? One of these was found actually recently in the Sheboygan River in Michigan. This woman, her name is Jennifer Dauker, is a boat captain in Sheboygan, Michigan. And she leads these scuba diving expeditions. And she actually found recently a message in a bottle. So they were so excited about this mystery, right? What could be in the bottle? What is it all about? So here's some pictures of Jennifer and what they found, and that's the shape the message was in when they got it out. So they didn't want to break the bottle, and there was some water in it. The cork was about halfway in, and they had to take, you know, something very thin to pull it out very carefully so they didn't, you know, ruin the message. And the message, it turns out, was written in 1926. It was 95 years old. Written by a man named George Morrow, who lived there in Sheboygan. And it was very simple. It just said, "Will the person who finds this bottle return this paper to me and tell me where it was found?" That's it. That was the message. And so, as it turns out, Jennifer is a busy mom and captain of a boat. And so she didn't really have time to search down George Morrow. Apparently there's a lot of Morrows in Sheboygan. So she just put a message on Facebook and said, "They're going to have to come to me," right? So this is sort of right, that alone is a teaching, right? Like, it's not so much over-efforting. It's like, I'm not going to go knocking on every door and do all this research. It's just like, I'm going to turn it over and let the mystery continue. So on Father's Day last week, George's daughter called and said, "My father made his transition, and we are so thrilled that you found this message, and our family would love to have it in his memory," and that he was a man who loved connecting with people, of course, right? And obviously there was some part of him that loved the mystery of it all and the mystery of how we are all connected. And so all of this came back around. So I'm wondering, if you were to write a message and put it in a bottle for some future generation to find, what would be your message? Maybe something inspirational or encouraging. Imagine a young person finding that at the bottom of a river, an ocean, your favorite body of water, wherever you choose to put it, and being so blessed knowing this very special thing was found just by them because it was for them. Take a minute just to go within and see, what is your message? In this moment, it might be different than it will be tomorrow, but what would be your message if you were to write your message in a bottle today, right now? Don't overthink it. Just let it come from spirit. And imagine yourself now writing that out. Maybe we'll stick with that idea and put on old parchment paper. And then roll, you could even do calligraphy if you want. And then roll that up and put it in the bottle, the color of your choice. Putting a cork on it. Thinking about where you'll put it. What maybe if it's a body of water, or maybe you'll hide it somewhere in the bushes. I don't know. Wherever it is that you think might be the best place to put that. Imagine yourself doing that. But more importantly, imagine the receiver. 20 years, 95 years from now, 40 years from now, it doesn't matter. We could go with 40 because that's whenever, as long as it takes. And that person finds your bottle, uncorks it. If there's water, shakes it out, carefully unrolls your scroll, and they get to read that message and feel it in their own hearts as a message direct from God. The message that came to me this morning was, "You are loved beyond measure." Or maybe it's, "All our needs are met," or "Trust in spirit." We will receive our abundant good when we remember that we are a part of something bigger, always. And when we unclog ourselves, our minds, our bodies, our hearts, open up the channel that we are to the source. And when we invest in the divine by turning toward the divine and also serving the divine in all the ways that may come into our purview. I can still hear and feel the resonance of Eddie Watkins Jr.'s chant. "All our needs are met. All our needs are met. All our needs are met." Can you feel that? Can you see how that would become like a part of you as you walk, as you move about the world? And as we reunite in unity, let's know this truth. All our needs are met. Individually, collectively, let's trust this truth. Let's trust Spirit. So I invite us to close out with this affirmation together and to live into it all week long. Together, I trust in Spirit and know all our needs are met. So it is.